Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Corey's muted.
New podcast, first time.
No, this is all on StreamYard. They muted me, man. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Game Day E by Stadium and Gale. It's your boy, Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatory.
And your boy, J. Scott 2-5. What's good, y'all?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Top of the top. Lane Kiffin news is going crazy. We got the Tennessee Vols, the toothless Tennessee Vols, pulling up to Gainesville. How y'all feeling?
Forgot there was
good.
A football game.
So did I.
Yeah, we're still doing those.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a tough one, but you know how it goes. I feel like, yeah, I saw some stats saying that basically Tennessee hasn't beat us at home in how long? Like
22 years.
Yeah, 22 years. Like, that's crazy. So at least that's something to look forward to.
What's your record against Tennessee?
I don't think they ever. Did they beat us? I don't think they ever beat us. Should I say? So
yeah, it's been what a whirlwind the last 4 days have been. Timeline, the message boards, the text messages, everything else. It's been a wild time.
Let me tell you what. It being in my position, I don't have to report on it like Zach and Graham and all these guys. Totally different experience, much more enjoyable.
Yeah, you find yourself in a rock and a hard place between wanting to share, trying to get multiple people. There's just a lot of different stories, a lot of different people involved. There's a lot of, I don't want to say hearsay, a lot of it's a game of telephone, right? Nick, you and I have been in a group chat with somebody that is pretty plugged in to, we'll just say, the program. And he's hearing stuff and then it's changing and then it's like, I didn't hear that. It's just, you know, everything is.
You're getting like a taste of it though, Dan, like you're getting a taste of like what it's like to be a beat reporter. You are, but a lot of it, we felt like you are a safeguard or a mediator between crazy internet rumors and like what you say, people will listen to and follow and believe that that's true. But you just get so much crap.
Yeah.
And then you have to like sift through the crap because there might be a diamond buried in it somewhere.
Yeah.
But coaching search season for those guys, there's no alcohol in this. It's just delicious Wawa coffee.
Sorry to hear that, man.
But I'm at our Flirtatorious office. I have a bunch of bourbon in front of me.
It's time to start drinking.
You have to sift through so much, and it's just like every – especially when you're covering it and like it's your job to cover, like it's not Dan's job to cover this. But like it's, you have to chase everything down. So when some lunatic on the message board says, hey, someone told me this, you have to chase it down. And when somebody says, like, oh, a bull gator told me that, I'm like, I think it's like $10,000 a year to tell a bull gator. And that money is not getting you a say in who the next coach is going to be. So I don't know that the bull gator you're talking to knows what they're talking about.
Right. And that's not to say that all information that's out there is not true, partially true, that information is being hidden. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's been a pretty quiet search overall. It's been very quiet from the Florida side. And I think that that's what's got a lot of people jonesing for information. And this is the first time Florida's fired a coach this early in the modern internet time. So you've had to follow it for five, six, seven extra weeks than what you normally are used to. So a lot of information that's out there, a lot of conflicting information. And yeah, I think Ole Miss, Florida, and LSU all feel very confident. And depending on who you talk to, there's been deals signed with all of them. So
yeah, everybody has biased information. The information, I don't know why people be flipping out. It's too soon. It's just the information. It's just what it is at that moment. That don't mean it can't change tomorrow. The information can change tomorrow. Yeah. It's not too soon, not too late. People that are emotionally tied to it are like, oh, why'd you tell us? And it's not, that's not what's happening, bro. It's just information. You know, as it comes out, you take the information, decipher if you think it's true, false, you know, credible, etc. But it's just information. But all these programs feel confident, and I do believe they should. You know, this is good negotiations. You know, all the information from every side is biased. But you just let it play out. Like, nothing's going to happen. I don't even know what information people are looking for. Flights? Like, what could you possibly get between now and the Egg Bowl that can change anything? Everybody's doing the same thing. It's wait and see what happens with him and Ole Miss after the Egg Bowl. And then, you know, that's when the dominoes start to fall. Right now, they playing y'all for clicks. Everybody's playing y'all for clicks. There's nothing to chase right now. Nobody know what Lane Kiffin's about to do.
No, I don't even know if Lane Kiffin knows like what he wants to do.
Yeah, correct. Stop looking at like the Kelce and the Poly, whatever they are, the Poly Mark. Stop looking at those and freaking out every single time a line changes. Like, the line's going to change every week. They've been just taking your money and flopping lines around for 6 weeks now and just taking your money. They don't build palaces out in the desert for being wrong, and they've literally just been flipping. Like, Eli Drinkwitz has been nearly a betting favorite to be Florida's next coach, as much as Lane Kiffin has. And then John Summerall will probably pop. Like, they're just taking your money. Stop freaking out. Also,
does,
just in general,
it does get ugly. After Kiffin, it does get real ugly, man. Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
Just in general in life, I get, like, Florida football is important, but, like, I can't control who the next head coach will be. You can't control who the next coach will be. I'm not going to let it ruin my day.
Go touch some grass, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Go visit them at dykusburkelaw.com or give them a call at 727-258-0043. They are on your side against the insurance companies. They used to be on that side, and now they are fighting against them for you. So if you have any issues with any sort of property insurance claim, flood damage, water damage, roof damage, whatever the case may be, go visit the Dyke Burke and Lewis Law Group and give them a call at 727-258-0043 or dykusburkelaw.com. All right, guys, let's talk Tennessee. Then we can kind of round off if we need to on the coaching search. Tennessee at Florida tomorrow, November 22nd, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call. I was kind of surprised. Then I saw all the other games that were happening this week. I'm like, not as big of a surprise. Kind of a weak week in college football this week. Game will take place in Gainesville. Like Jordan said, Tennessee going for their first win in Gainesville since 2003. Gators currently 3-7, 2-5 in the SEC on a three-game losing streak. And Tennessee is 7-3, 3-3 in the SEC and 20th in the polls. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts in this game? Nick.
First thought, weird. weird to have this game in November.
Yeah.
It was weird to play LSU in September. Weird to have this in November. I hate it. Also hate that we won't have this game next year. Shout out to the SEC league office. And their
schedule. Is this the first time we've not played them like early on in the season since that 9/11 year?
Yeah. And that game was scheduled, obviously, for early September. That was the I can't remember who it was, but that was a slap game where we Florida was going to win, and there was a slap. Yeah, can't remember right now. Interesting game. Tennessee's had a solid offensive line. Don't give up many sacks. I think we know what to expect. You know what to expect from Josh Heupel. It's a fast-moving offense. Florida, again, the injuries are what they are, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Getting your substitutions in right, being able to stay fresh when Tennessee's not going to give you a chance to substitute, and you are very thin in the secondary. That's not new anymore. We don't need to keep talking about it. Tennessee kind of middle of the road rushing, but do lead the SEC in passing offense despite losing Nico. So it'll be interesting. I think you do get a really good crowd for tomorrow. Tennessee has not won in Gainesville. We definitely looked that up. Maybe did you have that, Dan?
Since 2003, yeah, 10-game losing streak.
That counts for something. And I think, you know, the team will continue to play hard. I think that's just kind of the character of the guys that they built. We saw that against Ole Miss. And as long as you don't have a situation in Kentucky where you're coughing the ball up, which leads to points, and then the game gets out of hand and you kind of just put it into cruise control, I think as long as it's close, Florida has a chance to win the game.
Yeah, Corey.
Yeah, it's a tough style matchup. I tell you that. And from a pace standpoint, Heupel and that offense is one of the top in the country. So they have bad luck in the swamp. We'll see if we can get some favor on our side. If the swamp, the stadium can win us one, I think we'll be in the game. I was impressed. Like last week, I thought we could get cooked and smoked in that game, and we did. We hung around. After seemingly looked like we quit in the Kentucky game, we came back last week and looked like, you know, a decent team again. So I think we'll be in it, but it's going to be hard for me to see us winning because defense has been reeling a little bit. Like we've been able to count on them most of the season, but when you start looking at the stats like of late now, like you can tell we're taking a step back defensively, and this wouldn't be the ideal week, but we do play better at home. But from a style matchup standpoint, we don't match up well. We turn over the ball way too much. We're going to have to take care of the ball. DJ's going to, you know, have to protect the ball better, especially on the other side of the 50 and in the red zone. You can't turn the ball over. You got to give your defense a chance. Even if we don't go get points, let's try to pin them. Our punting's got to be a little better with pinning teams, et cetera. I know Nick don't like that, you know, but punters get criticized too. So it's just stylistically, it's not the greatest of matchups, man. But it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a one possession game. Hopefully, we can pull it out, pause, and keep the streak going. But stylistically, it's not a great matchup.
Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, man. Just looking at the stats, Tennessee has definitely been offensively effective all season, and our DBs just haven't been stepping up to the challenge week in and week out. I feel like when we faced a team that was good in the past game, it showed. It was a couple weeks we got bailed out as far as like drop balls and stuff like that. But we're definitely going to have to strap up on defense, affect the passer, and basically getting them boys to run the football if we can stop the pass. Because I know we can stop the run. I'm just in fear that we can't stop the pass game. So I think that'll be our downfall. But other than that, offensively, I think we've been playing harder. We've been playing better in the past 2 weeks than we've been seeing all season. So I expect that to improve, and maybe we give them a fight in the swamp. You know, a lot of people come into the swamp. It's not easy. It's never an easy game. So hopefully we can get the job done.
Yeah, definitely a tough matchup. Tennessee averaging right now 43.4 points per game. So definitely a high-scoring offense, but allowing a lot of points as well, averaging almost 29 points allowed on defense this game. Just to give you guys some names and people to look out for, Joey Aguilar is their quarterback. 66.3% passing, 2,941 yards, 9.2 yards per attempt. That's 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions on the year. They have lost this season to Georgia, 44-41. They've lost to Alabama, 37-20. And then they lost a couple weeks ago to Oklahoma, 33-27. So even in their losses, pretty tight matchups, obviously, against, except that Alabama game. Joey Aguilar has thrown multiple interceptions in back-to-back games. So that's Oklahoma and New Mexico State. So definitely look for the Gators to try to force him into making some quick passes and trying to keep him off his feet. Their offense is ranked 21st in the country right now, or pardon me, 14th overall in the country right now. They're averaging almost 10 more snaps per game than the Gators. They average 78.1. Florida averages just 68.3. They are a pretty balanced team compared to Florida. Florida is a 59% passing, 40%, 40.7% run play. Tennessee is a 54.8% pass and 45.2 run plays. Sorry, just trying to balance everything over here. Sorry for stumbling there. Right now, point spread is -4, opened up at 4.5. If a game where on a neutral field, Tennessee is probably a touchdown favorite in this one. Just some names, as we often do, that you guys need to know. DeShaun Bishop is their leading rusher with 770 yards, 10 touchdowns. Star Thomas, 458 yards with 6 touchdowns. Peyton Lewis, 290 yards with 7 touchdowns. And Joey Aguilar, 119 yards with 3 touchdowns. Leading receivers, Chris Brazel, the second, leading the team with 873 yards. Braylon Staley, 761. And Mike Matthews, 667 yards, are their top three guys. And then their tight end, they don't use very often, but Miles Kiltzman is their starting tight end with 250 yards of receiving in this one. So again, Josh Heupel is always going to put together a good team on offense, a team that scores a lot of points, and a team that gets a lot of yards through the air and giant chunk plays there. So Caleb Banks looks like he might be back for this one. Hey, Nick?
Yeah.
Nick told him I missed him, and he came back. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was really trying to go. So I did not think he was going to be able to go last week. He mostly practiced last week, limited, wasn't a full participant. And then I was surprised. I thought he would just come out and in sweats in Oxford, but was surprised to see him go through everything. So another full week of practice this week. I think we should expect to see 88 back this week and then next week.
I wonder if they are they doing load management? Pause.
No. So if I'm his agent, I'm like, hey, buddy, we're good. Don't do anything. But also, you know how strict Florida is in terms of letting guys, their doctors, in terms of clearing guys to go back out. He's fully cleared to go. Me and him, from talking to him, when he was still in a boot on a scooter, thought his college career was done when he had a surgery. I think he just healed quickly, which even gave him the opportunity to try and come back. Probably against some outside people's advice of coming back. Most people probably would tell you just pack it up, start your pro day stuff, start your combine stuff. But, yeah, no, he's good. He wants to play. I think he wants a couple more games of tape and then wants to be able to play with these guys again.
Yeah, I think my take is if he's back, I was asking about load management, because if he's back full-fledged, I think we're going to see a better pass rush. I said on the Gator Panther show before the start of the season, I thought he was the MVP of the defense, and his presence is definitely missed. Unfortunately, Gums is out for the rest of the season, but who's ever playing aside – Caleb Banks this week is going to get a little tick up, and I think we're getting to that quarterback. So we'll see if that changes that could help us, you know, stay in the game at home, home crowd. Quarterback can't, you know, get his cadence and get into his rhythm in the right way, get his snap off, like the line not getting out of their stance as fast on the road. I think we could possibly see our pass rush be a little better with Banks back.
Yeah, that's obviously a huge one. Gators still out with the injury bug here, but I think getting him back, we talked about it before the season that he's probably the best player on defense or probably the most impactful player on defense. Been out for the better part of what, 3 months now, so or 2.5 months. So hopefully, you know, he can get, you know, some of that rust off, get him in a position where he can get some good tape, and then, you know, head off to the NFL where I think he'll have a great career. You're still missing, you know, a number of people. You still have LJ McCray out. You have George Gums out for this one. You have Micah Boyro out for this game as well. So you're going to need him to step up because Makai Boureau out for this one. And so, you know, it's a good thing Caleb Banks is coming back because I don't know what depths the Gators would have to reach to at the defensive tackle position to try to make this game work without the both of them.
We're about to tell Nick to learn one tech, man.
I can see it.
I've gained weight, but not that much.
What do we? I think it's been hilarious to watch Drake Stubbs. I want to see Drake Stubbs get more snaps. Drake Stubbs has been politicking every single post game with some type of gif, some type of tweet about getting playing time. This game could get dangerous for our safeties. Our safeties gonna have to come play some football. I think Heupel's gonna try to attack us deep. Even though we struggle with the run, his style of play is just his style of play. Heupel going to call a vertical offense to try to test us on the back end, and rightfully so. So if those guys struggle, you know, we're hawking the ball, making plays on the ball, I really want to see, you know, Drake Stubbs and Lagunza get more reps. And, you know, 43, my guy. So we'll see how it all plays out, but that's something I would like to see this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. He's somebody that I thought would play – more this year. I think a lot of us expected him to play more this year. And
safety is tough. It's tough. Yes. It's been traditionally tough for UF as a freshman. But now they're not freshmen. Like this point in the season, you're not a freshman anymore. And some guys are just gamers. And you know, you need people to just make plays on the ball, break on the ball. They need to know the defense. But you know, if you got veteran guys that are struggling at this point, it's a wash of a season. Like, get them boys some reps. They begging for some reps.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about red shirts and anything else right now either. So,
yeah,
let's get back to Tennessee real quick. In terms of their offensive line, only allowed 8 sacks this entire year, 12 quarterback hits, and 64 hurries. So, very good offensive line, at least when it comes to not allowing sacks and quarterback hits. Florida's historically this season done pretty well against teams that have not allowed a lot of sacks. I know that the Texas team, the Georgia team, they didn't really allow many, if any, sacks. I think Georgia had maybe allowed one all season, and then they were able to get to the quarterback. You know, obviously missing George Gums, that's going to hurt, but getting Caleb Banks out should give an opportunity to be able to get out of the quarterback, get after the quarterback. And I think that is, you know, something that Florida needs to do in order to feel like they have a chance to win this game. I think that there's talent. It's just a matter of your defenses just kind of holding on with some bandages right now on the health and wellness of the defensive side of the ball. So hopefully they can, you know, get after the quarterback, force some turnovers. And I think that's the key of what the Gators need to do to win this one.
100. Go ahead, Joy. What you got? I like that shirt, by the way, my guy.
Appreciate that, man. I love the OG Albert. But, yeah, man, I agree with you. And I think especially if we get Caleb Banks back, man, I think his presence alone, whether he's as effective he was as last year or not, I think he'll demand double teams, get our guys on the edge a little easy, a little rush to get home. Obviously, we was doing it without him, but with him back, I think it'll do nothing but make us better and possibly help our guys on the back end, you know what I'm saying, because – maybe that's part of the problem on why they look so bad.
Yeah, not getting to the passer.
Yeah, they're not getting to the passers all day, and like you can only cover for so long. So, yeah, man, we just need to play complementary football all around. I feel like we've been having a hard time with doing that on both sides of the ball, whether it's O-line's not clicking or receivers not clicking, running game's not doing well, quarterback's not doing well. Like, we just all need – we need to have a clinic game and something that we can all put together and feel proud about. Like, I feel like no better place to do it. Maybe Florida State game too, but I would like this one just to keep – just to protect the house.
What's usually the vibes, like, around campus, right? Just from a player's perspective, when a team's struggling like this, you know, fellow students, the city, like, what's usually, you know, like, what's that feel?
I mean, I think it kind of drives the players, man. I think we've been seeing that these past 2 weeks. I feel like, you know, a lot of players, when they hear the outside noise and they see it, some pay attention more than others. But we all talk about it at some point in time. And I think through practice and just practicing hard, I feel like it just makes dudes want to go hard to prove everybody wrong on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday, sorry. But I kind of felt like that. What game was it when I called? Oh, it was Texas. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Gators come out here and beat somebody today, because that's typically what happens. Everybody doubts us, and then the Gators come out and roll whoever they're playing, and it was not even expected. So that's how I feel like the atmosphere is around campus when everybody kind of gives up on you. Terrible season. It's quiet around. It's not as fun to see a football player walking around. I think those guys dig a little deeper and try to, you know, bring everybody back together.
What we at injury rods with receivers?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. So you have Eugene Wilson and Dallas Wilson out for this one. Vernell Brown is still listed as questionable. Tony Livingston is probable, but obviously he's a tight end. So I think that he'll be back. I think rest. They actually announced that he's going to be back in Austin Barber. So I think Vernell Brown, Eugene Wilson and Dallas Wilson.
What are our starters right now? I want to see more Agent Zero offense too, man. But what are our starters? Wait,
so you're damn. Still gonna have J. Mike, Aiden Mizell.
Okay.
After that, I guess Tank Hawkins.
No, Tank. Tank's
or not Tank.
I got it for you. Your X be Mizell and Muiz. Your Z would be TJ Abrams.
TJ Abrams, I'm
sorry. And then your H, Sturdivant and Mizell. Those are basically your six guys. And then you get into Taylor Spirito, Jackson Wade.
No Agent Zero?
Sorry, Nashawn Montgomery would be before those two. He's been playing a lot.
He hit a good catch the other day, but I thought we'd see more out of him this year. I know that there's a lot of people in TJ Abrams has done well, I thought, you know, stepping into his role from where he was at. You know, I thought Nashawn Montgomery might jump him going into the season on the depth chart, and I've been very impressed by what TJ Abrams has been able to do.
For sure.
I'm trying to see. So Nashawn's played in 4 games right now. So, like, if you don't see Nashawn, maybe that's, like, him and the coach stepping, like, hey, I should probably just redshirt this year.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had a ton of production this year. I don't know.
Because he has, just one catch this year?
Yeah, I don't know that there. Let me see.
Yeah, I would have redshirted if I was.
I would catch that shirt for sure.
3 catches, 26. You've now played in the limit to maintain a redshirt. He's out there practicing, but like obviously you can practice. But that'd be a conversation you'd have to have with your position coach, who's also the head coach. Keep you from having 2 conversations, just one.
Yeah. I would not probably expect Nashawn Montgomery. I mean, unless he's a guy that thinks, you know, there's an opportunity for him next year and, you know, he can do it all in 4 years. But, you know, it's probably better to bet on yourself now and say, hey, let's take this year, especially with the lack of production. And it's not like, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of injuries. And I guess you can play it by ear, but unless absolutely needed and you can play in those 6 games and be featured – you know, being a guy that plays 8-9 snaps and maybe gets 1 ball thrown his way may not be worth it.
Yeah, I don't see it being worth this while. Yeah, there is opportunity with the Tennessee secondary, but defense is going to play. How they've played the entire season is going to look different on tomorrow. Like, they understand what DJ struggled with. We're going to see some zones and some coverages. They're going to disguise some things, but there are some opportunities in the Tennessee secondary, and it could be a game where we're still waiting on that complete game from DJ. He's had some moments here and there.
Yeah,
knocking off some rust, but we're waiting on him to have that complete game where it's no turnovers, good production, a couple touchdowns, you know, solid in the run game, and that's an opportunity this Saturday.
Yeah, Tennessee's defense is not great. They're not. Let's actually see where they're at defense before, because oftentimes I just say things and I don't.
No, they're not that great.
No, they're 14th in the SEC. They're allowing almost 390 yards per game. Their scoring defense is 15th in the SEC, allowing almost 29 points a game. Their rushing defense is 9th in the country, or 9th in the SEC, pardon me, allowing 131. And then their passing defense is dead last in the SEC, allowing 260 yards. Now, if we can have DJ Lagway's first half performance of last week replicated right this week,
I'm scared.
Gators have a chance, and I'm never going to pick the Gators against, not pick the Gators against Tennessee until they beat us. There's just something about that swamp voodoo that has them in a bender. And you know what? To be honest with you, it's going to be 3 a.m. when the game kicks off for me tomorrow on Sunday. So. You know,
yeah,
I'm not sweating this one. Not sweating it. I'm going to be going to bed. I'm going to wake up bright and early, probably wake up around 6:30 or so on that Sunday, maybe catch the tail end of that game. But yeah, it's going to be, yeah, you guys enjoy.
How many yards away are we from ball getting 1K? Like, we on 1K watch with ball. Like, where are we at?
Best call of the preseason show was Jaden Ball 1,000 yards. You're welcome. Best call. It was really the only prediction I made. So
yeah, like four running backs getting 1,000 yards. So.
No. If I recall correctly, I made only one prediction on that show, and it was Jaden Ball getting 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Nick, you got great.
Some people were like, Nick's not really making too many predictions. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm just making one strong prediction.
No, I don't think that's how it went. We'll have to review the tape, though.
Season.
But he's 192 yards away, Corey.
No. It was just Jaden Ball.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get that.
It was just Jaden Ball for 1,000.
So we're at 172? You said
we're away? No, we're at 808. He needs 192.
192.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get that. I think Scott, we can feed him. That's all we got left this season.
Scott is here. Positive,
but this is clearly fake news. I only made one.
Scott is here every episode before it even gets started.
Yes.
Drops a go Gators.
Scott's great, but I think he's misremembering. I definitely only made one prediction.
This is what Scott does at the beginning of every show, usually 5, 8, 10 minutes before we get started. He's always here. So I'm willing to say Scott knows.
Yeah, I think he's just misremembering. The only thing I've ever said was 1,000 for Jaden Ball.
Hey, timeline's gonna be heated, David. I didn't say anything. I just said it's gonna be early. I'm fleeing the country. You guys caused me to flee the country.
That boy broke line records this on the panel, man. He said Gumb was gonna break the sack record. You was in your bag, bro.
Not for injury, maybe. We'll never know.
Okay. If he was injured and on steroids, he wasn't breaking that record, man.
No, the first four games or so, he would have really had to go on some sort of tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the injury bug that's been ailing the Gators the last few years doesn't happen again next year, man. It's just been tough. And it's football. It's a collision sport. These guys are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been. Like, that's just the game of football. But, man, it's just so many good people that we were excited to see this year that just we weren't able to see much of, right? Eugene Wilson, Dallas Wilson. LJ McCray, Aaron Gates got injured early. Jacoby Jackson got injured. Dijon Johnson got injured. Rod Kearney was injured.
Man, you're making me depressed, my brother.
I know. Yeah. Making myself depressed. Every time the initial injury report comes out, and Florida has a litany of names, and the team that they're facing has like five. But so all right, perfect.
Pup never even showed up. Like, shout out to Pup, man. I don't know what's going on with Pup. That's a great question. Pup just never keep the injury bug. Yeah, just never came out. We gotta get the streets what like we gotta get the streets what they really want to talk about. So let's get through this game, man. Tennessee is what it, I think we got score predictions, over unders, yeah. Buy or sell. Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do some buy or sell here. All right, mm-hmm. So we're always gonna start with the usual. DJ Lagway, 225 yards.
I hope Nick. So.
Buy or sell or over?
This is over under.
Over.
Okay.
I'll go over.
Yeah. Jordan?
I'm on the over.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's pass defense is cheeks. Mm-hmm. All right. So quick math. What is that? 80, 86, 90. 96? We'll just go ball. 96 yards. Over, under.
Over, he baby. He's got to fulfill the one prophecy I made all year. He's going to help me fulfill it. Over.
Give me the over.
Okay.
I'm on the over, too. I think he gets 100.
Okay. All right. Joey Aguilar has thrown 10 interceptions this year. Gators have done pretty well against quarterbacks that have not thrown many interceptions. So with Aguilar throwing 10, I think that's second or third in the SEC. Do we think that the Gators can get a turnover on Joey Aguilar, an interception?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we get one. They're gonna be trying to air it out all game.
Yeah, and they're going to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to see my young safeties right now. I'm gonna say no, man, because we don't got no ball hawks back there, unfortunately, brother.
Mm-hmm. Will the Gators get a sack?
Big Bang's back, baby.
Yeah, they'll get one, but I think Tennessee's only given up 13 all year. They have a good offensive line who's protected Joey. But, yeah, I'm just buying everything.
Okay. Jordan?
Yeah, man, I like the over on that. I think we'll be able to get there, especially if they're going to be dropping back all day. I think it gets to a certain point as a D-lineman, you're going to want to get you one.
All right. How many do we think? Let me see. I'm going to pull up the Hard Rock. I'm just going to pull up a betting app. They don't pay us, so sorry for their free plug. Do we think that DJ Lagway throws an interception tomorrow? Nick's saying yes on everything, so.
I need my boy to go interception free game, man. So like this is really a hopeful take and you know, being positive take. I'm gonna say no. Like, he gets an interception free game, you know, over 225 yards, man. But we'll see. We need him to have, like, shout out to my guy Reese who's in the comments, man. I need him to keep pulling that dog out and keep fighting just to get better and not fold. You know, some people had him shutting down the season, but I need him to finish with some, you know, with some dog.
Jordan, what do you got?
Need some dogs.
I think I'm with Corey on this one, man. I want to see him have a clinic game, a great game, something that we can look forward to the next season. So, and this is a great defense to do it. They're not that talented. It's nothing to be scared on that side of the ball. So hopefully he does what we expect him to do. I feel like we kind of felt like this versus Kentucky and it got ugly. So come on, my boy. Yeah, prove me wrong. Do me right. Yeah.
All right, take care of the ball. I think we can win, man. We got to take care of the football. This team isn't good enough to be giving away the football. Like, the offense isn't good enough to play from behind. So just give the defense a chance. They're going to keep us in games. Just take care of the football. Get three when we can get three. Make them drive the length of the field, like that type. When we giving turnovers, we just shooting ourselves in the foot and making it a tougher task.
Absolutely. Here's one that I got online. Gators passing touchdowns. It's an even over under at 1.5. Will the Gators get, DJ Lagway or whomever is a quarterback throw for more than 1.5 passing touchdowns?
I say no.
Okay.
Who else would it be?
Well, I mean, it just says Gators passing touchdowns.
Yeah, it could be running touchdowns.
It could be Tramell Jones. It could be a Wildcat. It just says Florida Gators passing TDs. They don't do the same prop bets they do in, like, the NFL.
Yeah.
Give me the over. I'll take the over.
Okay.
The money I've saved in the last 7 years, we're throwing it at you, Dan.
Nick has to say yes. So right now, spread moved down to 3.5. Will the Gators cover a 3.5-point spread? No, I'm sorry. They're the underdog. So do you like the Gators to win plus 3.5?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me the win, man. This is Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think Gators upset on this one. For nothing else than we've had worse talented teams beat them in similar circumstances that the Gators have. So, Jordan, you're a yes. Nick, you're a yes. Nick's a yes all the way down. That's where we're at. Until it happens, you just got to pick against Tennessee, right?
It's facts.
It's still a rivalry game. It's still a night game in the swamp. We are ambitious. Yes, flip season. We're very ambitious. We're hopeful, trying to be optimistic. We could go on here and, you know, lambast the team and everything else all the time, but what fun is that? You know, it's we're in head coaching search season, right? Head coaching searching.
That's the only reason everybody's really here, man. That nobody cares about game day, man. Everybody's here to see, like, what's the temperature? What we at, Dan? Get a screech, like, heat check.
I've been told by, let's see, there was somebody earlier that said that this is not my lane, so I'll let you guys talk about it.
What's not your lane?
Anything. Breaking news. Nothing. Oh. Just getting paid.
Travel. Your lane.
Next time, Dan, just do what you're paid to do. I don't know if this person knows what I'm actually paid to do. Right. Breaking news and sources are not yo thing. Fam. So.
Whoa, man, he came with the heat. Back to the temperature check, man. What you hearing, bro? How you feeling, bro?
First off.
What's the feel here? I got feelings.
I won't speak for everyone on the show. Please stop following, like, Gators Season, Gators Network. They're just taking stuff from actual reporters who are doing it and making it to an Instagram graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop sending me their stuff.
So you think they don't have sources?
No.
Gators doesn't seem legit, though. And it seems
Graham Hall put a story out that said Florida met with Lane Kiffin. So Gators Network did no reporting. They just didn't attribute Graham's reporting to him.
Yeah. It's real smooth.
Done with both of them.
Nick, we're hiding it. Hide the comment. I think you heard. Yeah, okay. There was news about John Summerall that got released on Wednesday. I know for a fact John Summerall, when that news broke, called a number of people to make sure that was refuted. There was plans to meet on with John Summerall, and now John Summerall is no longer a candidate. John Summerall was a person. They have interviewed other people. They have interviewed and will talk to and do due diligence. And when you hear names of people that Florida is talking to, like, don't rush to the edge of a cliff and be like, oh, you know, Florida's already down to their 18th option at quarter or at head coach. It's just not how this works. You have to talk to different people. You have to understand the market. You have to understand what people are asking for. You need to talk to different people. That's why you hire a search firm. You don't hire a search firm normally to just identify one candidate. And a lot of it is market research, market analysis, future. There's just a lot that goes into it. Sometimes it's reference checks. And we hear that a firm talked to another coach and it's like, well, yes, but not in what you're thinking, right? There's a lot that goes into this beyond just the names that are associated. So you have to do due diligence. I mentioned this 5 weeks ago when the firing got happened, or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was. Florida has a number one target, and Florida feels, and the people around feel confident. What that means can be varying levels of confidence. Is it well-placed? Is it misplaced? Who knows? I'll say that Scott Strickland, from everything that I've heard, has done a very good job with this search. Be careful about running again to the edge of the cliff, about Florida not doing certain things for Lane and or other coaches. Like, Florida gave the entire athletic department over to Lane Kiffin or to Billy Napier. If you don't think that they would potentially do that again to another coach, just like use some critical thinking there. That's the update, you know, just relax.
I think that John Summerall, I understand they got to do due diligence, and you know, it's a search. They should do due diligence, but I think they set a criteria, and I don't think John Summerall fit into that criteria of what we originally, you know, was kind of told what this search is going to look like, a candidate will look like, going Sun Belt, a guy that's not proven G5 again, a guy that Billy Napier put hands, feet, and other parts of his body on, probably paws. I don't think that would go over well, you know, from a lot of different standpoints. I was happy when they refuted that. You know, I heard similar things. There was some like poking around, but you know, from the guy that I talked to, I was already, before that news hit, and I had tweeted, I expect John Summerall and the Auburn thing to be more heat. If Kentucky had got rid of their coach, him being Kentucky alum, that could have had some legs, but I don't think he fit the criteria. I'm glad that conversation didn't go down, or the vetting, whatever that the process they are with him. I do want to see other names than what's being said out the lane. Like, Lane's a number one target. It's been some depends on who you're getting your information from. Some people are saying that Drinks is not a guy they're going to consider at this time. I don't know how true that may be, but I'm not high on him as well. It just gets a little muddy. Like, I'm not feeling the Jed Fishes. Like, whoever we get out the lane, sign them to a very small contract with a very small buyout, because we're going to be doing it again in 3 years, is my feel. I wouldn't mind going assistants, Will Stein, somebody in that world. Love Kelly Dillingham. I wish Lashley was a guy that they was rocking with a little bit. I think those dudes sound more promising than a John Summerall, a Brent Key. You know, I don't think some of that stuff is a fit stylistically with offense, you know, personality-wise. I don't know if those guys really fit what we got going on here, and I think we'll be doing this all over again.
Yeah.
I think we need to, like, stop talking about Kenny Dillingham, though. Like, he has multiple times done what Ole Miss wishes Lane Kiffin would do, and just straight up said, like, I'm going to be here. I want to be here. Please stop asking me about this. In fact, just go ask yourself why you haven't given us more money, because I would like you to give us money so that we can go buy players that want to be here.
Yo, and Faithful is the girl you have options to sometimes, man. Right now,
he went, like, yeah, but he went there. I feel like it's different for, like, alumni. Like, I feel like
you care all for that.
And wants to be at Arizona State. But he's gone back to his high school sweetheart and is trying to make it work.
That's funny. But yeah, man, I kind of feel the same with this whole coaching thing, man. I feel like Lane is honestly the best option out there right now as far as just what he's been doing offensively, what he can do for us. It seems that the players will be happy if we do get him and want to stay. My biggest concern is trying to retain our offensive talent. Like, not saying defensive talent is easy to find, but I think Florida traditionally has always gotten good defensive guys. Whether you have a defensive coach or not, we always get guys in here who are untalented on defense. Our struggle has been quarterback, maybe finding good receivers, and we have that right now. So whoever that offensive-minded coach is outside of Lane that we can go find and to retain this offensive roster, I think that's the move that we need to make if it's not Lane.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of people that know that. I mean, Florida's pursuit of Lane Kiffin is not secret. It has been put out there by everybody. There's just not a decision that's going to be made today. I mean, if the decision is made today, it won't be announced today. If there's a decision on an extension, he has a meeting with the AD. He has a standing meeting with the AD every Friday. Do you take with that what you want out of that? But, you know, you're just not going to get a contract signed and an announcement made before, at the very earliest, next Sunday. Like, not this upcoming Sunday, the following Sunday, and even that might be early. You're going to hear a lot of different names. You're going to hear a lot of different things, and like, you have to do due diligence. You have to talk to other people. Like, everybody was really, really mad at Florida for not looking at other options when they had Willie Napier, right? And now it's like, oh, Florida's looking at other options. It's like, well, what happened to our guy? It's like, well, nothing. Like, you can't talk to Lane Kiffin and Jimmy Sexton 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, you have to do more than that. But Hoop Shiz is not my burner. We've tried to get Hoop Shiz on the show a few years ago, and just didn't work out.
We can get him the FBI shadow, the voice, change everything. He still didn't show up, man. Shout out to Shiz.
Hoop Shiz, I wonder. So Hoop Shiz is constantly wrong about anything that isn't recruiting, but like also very right about recruiting. So I wonder who Hoop Shiz could be. Hoop Shiz is the one who said Ed Orgeron was going to be Florida's head coach.
That's true.
So,
he didn't say it. He said that Florida was going to hire him to be the offensive line coach.
Offensive line coach. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. He's the defensive lineman.
Defensive line coach, whatever it was.
Okay. Gotcha. Poor Ed's been on a damn plane for 4 years, getting refueled in the air, just circling Gainesville, waiting for the call.
Yeah,
the plane watching has been absolutely crazy, like, by everybody involved. I'm gonna be honest, like, we need to have like a coming to God moment here, man. Like, an intervention with everybody. Like, this is not Nick Saban. Like, Lane is the best candidate in a weak pool. I get it, but everybody needs to just calm down a little bit, bro. Like, no decision's gonna be made. Like, what plans could y'all actually be? You think he's gonna just get on the plane and go to the school right now and have an in person interview? We have cell phones, Zoom, Google Meets, StreamYard. Like, these people are StreamYard.
What if they accidentally hit go live on YouTube?
Right. And then it's a live conversation for everybody. You know, everybody need to chill out. Like, all the plane watching, it's too much hysteria around it, man. Like, we're going to find out after the Egg Bowl where everything's at with it. What did you guys think about the interview he did? I thought that was very weird. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that was very awkward. You know, that whole thing. The one
on Pat McAfee show?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys thought about that?
And I'm not going to say like, oh, like, look at me. But like, Lane is a great deflector. And I knew as they were like going on that he had like a player with him. And he's like, well, let's just talk about him instead. We're like, classic deflection moment, right? I think it is weird. It was a pre-recorded interview. I think he finds it very awkward. I think a lot of this has a lot of it's him, right? It's a Lane Kiffin experience. He is like immature. he brought all of this on himself. Light, and man. Like, listen, if we get Lane Kiffin, like, there is a chance that he does the same thing to you in 3 years, 3-4 years. You know, what if the NFL starts coming? You know,
yeah. If you get that girl and she cheated on her dude with you, and then she becomes your girl, you're gonna have that same, you know, thing in the back of your mind. Like, all right, bro, like, I know how I got you, and that's how I could probably lose you. This is just who Lane is. This is how Lane left Tennessee. Every job he's at, he's flirted with other jobs. Yep. This just comes with the territory. Like, I've always thought he was a good play caller and a good, you know, X and O coach. It's the things that it's other things that comes with coaching, you know, that you got to deal with when it pertains to Lane. And we're seeing that. If I was an Ole Miss fan right now, I'd be absolutely mad that my team's a playoff team and we're dealing with, you know, all these shenanigans and not just focused on trying to go win a natty. But it's a weak pool, right?
Yeah. It's a very weak pool. Coaches are getting chewed up and spit out quicker than they ever have. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that Lane Kiffin deserves to be the highest paid coach in college football. And I'm almost positive that he's going to be by a large number, by a seven figure number.
It's going to be the highest paid by a meal. Ooh.
Yeah. Shout like until the, until the TV bubble bursts, like it's fake money. They're just playing with Monopoly money until the TV bubble bursts.
Well, not Florida State. They don't have. They're not playing with someone.
Everybody Florida State. Not everybody. Yeah.
You're in a poverty conference, so you gotta go ahead and get into one of the two conferences. Excuse me. The Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC are playing with fake numbers.
Yeah,
and you can include Texas Tech. Who is in the Big 12 playing with fake numbers too.
Dan, can I ask you this question? Has there been any new names vetted, like Clark Lee or anybody like that? You don't know? You don't have to answer, bro.
Yeah, no, I don't know the answer to that. I do want to point out something, Corey, because I saw you say something to Jaws after you talked. Lincoln Riley has been vetted by Florida.
Woo, don't get me excited.
Yeah. Like how far that went, what the interest level is, I don't know all of that.
If you have the opportunity, and this is my take on that. So if you vetted him and you have the opportunity to hop out of this fiasco of what this Lane Kiffin thing is, you know, unless we don't know like how confident they are confident. Like everybody I talk to on our end out and we don't know what they know. Like Florida has been quiet with a lot of this stuff. We don't know what they know and what type of games that Sexton and Lane could be playing. We just don't know. But he's definitely telling everybody, like every program, similar vibes, because everybody feels confident. But me, if I'm in charge, right, if I could jump out of this fiasco, I don't think there's a huge gap. If there is a gap between Lincoln Riley and Lane Kiffin, I would say the biggest difference is Lane's ability to hire a defensive coordinator, right? And you would need Lincoln Riley to come in here and make a significant hire at DC. Lane has shown he can do that, and he's done that. He's had good defenses, but I don't think, you know, I would be flirting around with it if Lincoln Riley's a guy I could get aggressive with and get into the fold. Because from the go, for me, it's been three guys that I thought fit the criteria. One's already signed with Virginia Tech, and now you still got two that are kind of, you know, open and accessible to everybody else. Mm-hmm. I don't think is qualified.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Graham Hall put this out there online. Florida met with Lane Kiffin's representatives and others yesterday. If it's where I think it was in Louisiana, and we'll see. I mean, but if everybody feels good, then
I'm here. I feel good regardless. I'm here to put shenanigans, brother. So I feel good that the people that should feel good still feel good, and they haven't wavered. You know, like people behind the scenes that they're not doing a lot of talking that we talk to. I feel good that they feel good. But I also feel even better. Now you telling me, I thought Jaws was giving you a hard time when he said that, man. I thought you guys were still like
No. Jaws and I are on great footing right now.
Okay. That's good to hear. That's good to hear, man. Two of my favorite guys.
Haven't been. We just differ on some things, and that's fine. That you can still, you know, have good
disagree and still have love for each other.
Yeah. Cool. You don't have to attack them personally, or you don't have to make fun of them or criticize. But you know, That's showbiz, baby.
I feel better that I this information is true, though, that Lincoln Riley was vetted, because I think he should be a strong candidate for the job.
Yeah. Again, I don't know where that started and ended. I just know that there has been at least some conversations regarding him.
Dog say he can't believe people are trying to meet and fight over a coaching search.
No, yeah,
it's wild, man.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to go touch some grass?
Let's do it. Hey, right, safe travel, Dan. What time the private jet pulling up to your driveway, man?
I leave this afternoon or this evening. I leave this evening, head over the pond. So I will not safe be with travel. You guys the next three episodes, but I'll be back. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody for having my back. Man, go Gators. Beat the hell out of Tennessee tomorrow.
Go Gators.
Go Gators, baby.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.